So I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever been doing something, like something you loved and you're really into it, just really focused and enjoying it, or at least really engaged in it, and then someone comes along and interrupts you? Oh, it's so frustrating, so irritating. And even you kids, I know, you know, you could be in the middle of that video game and mom says, come set the table for dinner. Oh. But that's what happened to the fishermen this one particular morning, to Peter and his friends. And the person who interrupted them was none other than Jesus himself. In fact, Adam Hamilton, in his book that we're studying, says Jesus routinely inconvenienced his disciples. But this is one of our first stories about Peter, and it's the first Sunday of our sermon series for these 6 weeks of Lent. Peter is we'll spend the whole season looking at his flawed but faithful life. He was a beloved character. He's a lot of people's favorite disciple. Maybe he's the only disciple they know anything about. But Peter is a character. And in these weeks, most likely, I hope, we will see ourselves in all of his escapades. Well, the story today is Luke's account of how the disciples were called. Matthew and Mark have one very simple one at the lakeshore, but it's very simple. John's is way different, of course. But in Luke today, this is his account of Jesus calling them to follow him. Now, right before this, interestingly, Luke shares with us at the end of chapter 4 a couple of verses that say that Jesus and Peter actually had met before this morning. Right? Jesus had been to Peter's home and healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, depending on how Peter felt about his mother-in-law, that could be a really good, amazing, positive thing. So I can make a joke because I am a mother-in-law and I know they talk about me. When Jesus approached the fishermen on the beach, it wasn't like strangers. Like, he recognized Peter. Peter recognized him. So on this particular morning, they are hasn't worked right all morning, so I'm excited. This is the Sea of Galilee. It's absolutely beautiful. It's where a whole lot of the stories in the New Testament are set, especially the ones that involve the fishermen. Jesus must have liked the water. This particular morning, Jesus approaches the sea, and he's being overwhelmed by crowds of people coming in at him because, Luke says, they want to hear the word of God. That's so exciting, crowding in on him because they want to hear what he has to say. So he realizes if he just take a step back, you know, then he could see the whole crowd better. It's why I like preaching from up here. I can see you all a whole lot better, minus the choir who, you know. Yeah, we always preach to the choir. So he also was going to sit down, which all good teachers do. So somebody get me a chair, please. Just kidding. So he has an idea, and he helps himself to Peter's boat. And he says, let's push me back a little bit so I can see everybody. I can talk to everybody. Now, these fishermen had been out all night. They are tired. They are frustrated. They've caught nothing. And that was not good for them because the fish were their livelihood. So they had caught nothing. They had nothing to sell that day. They did a form of fishing called dragnet, or seine fishing, big heavy net with almost had like little weights tied to it. So usually a two boat thing. So one in one boat would hold one end and the person in the other boat. And then as the boats move forward together, it would just literally drag the bottom, the lower depths of the sea, and had a really good chance of catching more fish that way. They fished at night because the fish couldn't see the nets. So they couldn't swim away. And usually it brought in a pretty decent catch, but this night, nothing. So they're frustrated, they're tired, discouraged, they're cleaning the nets. The nets, of course, got very muddy. They have all kind of gunk in them. I mean, besides the fish, they dragged up a lot of other stuff. So they're cleaning their nets before the next day. And Jesus hops in Peter's boat and says, push me out a little way. Well, that was not such a strange request. So Peter did that. Jesus taught. And then after he taught, he made another request. Okay, let's go out deeper. Bring your nets. Let's go out in the deep water. Well, now Peter spoke up. Master, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing. See, I think he's thinking, yeah, we're the fishermen here. You're the carpenter. We know we've been out all night. We're not going to get anything. And then the key phrase, but because you said so, I'll do it. Because you said so, I'll drop the nets. And then so much happens. We have this miracle of the amazingly huge catch. So much it sunk the boats and broke the nets. And then we have Peter's reaction to Jesus. You know, he's very in awe. And he steps back and says, you're too good for me. I'm a sinful man. There's enough in this 11 verses to preach about 3 sermons. So I hope you have a lot of time. But finally, we get to the heart of the matter. And that's where Jesus says to them, leave everything. Don't be afraid. I'm going to teach you to fish for people. I'm going to teach you to bring in people, fish for men. This then becomes the beginning of 3 years of the most amazing times in these guys' lives. They had been mere fishermen, and now they're on a journey. A theologian, Edward Schweizer, says, faith doesn't come as an assent to statements that have been previously preached. Faith comes as trust in Jesus' call to try one more time to follow him. Now, this gets me to thinking, what does it really mean to follow somebody? So I thought that through, and here's what I came up with. First of all, you keep complete focus on the person you're following. You zero in on them, and you pay attention, because you don't want to get lost, and you don't want to get left behind. So that person becomes your sole focus. Second, you take in all you can. You learn as much as you can from this person. Third, to follow someone is to trust them. Even if you're asked to go or do what is way out of your comfort zone, you're trusting that this leader is not going to leave you or abandon you. And fourth, it might mean leaving behind that for which you have no need, what gets you in trouble, what doesn't matter anymore. The faults, the flaws, the foibles, the bad habits, you leave them behind because you're going to set your sights now on something higher and greater. Now, I am going to pause a minute and just speak to the kids. Be careful who you follow. At your age, and I don't mean to, that's not a negative, this is a fact. You're in a very beginning stage of faith, which is just beautiful. But there will be people in your life, in school particularly, or on your team, or out there in the community, who might ask you to follow them and do things that aren't necessarily good for you. There are some people out there who would love to take you down a bad path. All I'm saying is, be careful, okay? Good. So, what it means to follow anyone, I just gave you, but now, these apply, think how much they apply to us following Jesus. First of all, we keep our eyes on him completely. That is our sole focus. You ever want to make a decision, you ever have a thought, we test it out by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We don't want to get left behind. We don't want to get lost. So he becomes our main focus. Secondly, we learn all we can. He's got so much to offer to teach, and we try to get as much as we can and learn how to apply that to our lives. Third, we totally trust him. That Jesus will not, the way could be hard. He told us that. It won't be easy, but he won't leave us. He won't abandon us, and he'll help us get through. And fourth, we may need to leave behind everything that gets in the way of a really good relationship with God. You know that, what that is for you. We're called, just like Peter was, to follow. You know, he took those fishermen and the tax collector and all the other guys, I don't know what they did for fun, just the way they were. There was no resume, there was no interview. They didn't have to measure up in any way. He just called them because he saw something in them that he could use for his kingdom. And that's what happens to us too. We trust Jesus, we trust God. He will take a look at us and know what he's got for each of us to accomplish during our lives, because he sees our gifts and he sees all of the good within us. Discipleship is risky. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called it costly, but it always comes with a great reward. Those fishermen had the biggest catch of their lives that day, and they left it to follow him. From generation to generation, God continues to call. But there's one more important thing I want to talk about. Jesus says to Peter and to the fishermen, if you leave everything, I will teach you to fish for people. I will teach you how to catch people. I think some of you may have grown up like me, learning a song called I Will Make You Fishers of Men. Nod if you learned that song. Thank you. I never liked that song. partly because I'd never understood it, and I was too young. I didn't bother to. But this is Jesus' final words to them. One spring break, my girls came home. They both went to Texas Tech University in dry, flat, sunny, hot West Texas. And they came home one, right smack in the Bible Belt, and they came home one year with these weird bracelets on. And I noticed them right away. They both had them on. They both went to the same Christian group during the week. And they were bracelets made out of fishing swivels, is what this is called. I don't know if we have any fisher people around here. You can make your own lures. And this is one of the things you could use to make a fishing lure to lure the fish in. So they had a bracelet where they had a whole bunch of these, and they easily hooked together. And they were cute. But of course, being the mom I am, I said, why are you wearing this? And they both had the right answer: to remind us to be fishers of men, to remind us that we are supposed to be influencing people to come follow Jesus. Now, my girls couldn't have been more different. One could have stood on the street corner and, man, 5 minutes with her, you'd be in. You'd be in here on your knees. The other one would have been in some soup kitchen somewhere, getting bowls of soup for the people who were hungry. Very different approach. And that's the way it is with us. We all have a very different approach to how we're going to catch people. Well, of course, I went out and got me some of those swivels, made a bracelet right away, was very proud, wore it till about my third shower, and then it turned icky brown. So I kept buying them. They come in little packets, like $1 for enough to go on a bracelet, and you can make all different sizes. In fact, I gave them, once I knew this, I gave them to every kid who was on one of my ASP work crews at the end of the week, as a reminder that they had taken part in a very big thing for God, that they had given their heart and their time and their sweat to make a difference somehow in the name of Christ. And I wanted them to be reminded of that. I eventually replaced my little tarnished gold ones with this nice silver one. I'm happy to show you at the door. Saw it in there's a Christian jewelry catalog. After 9:30, I'm going to get commission on that, but I can tell it to you later if you want to know. I'd never take it off. I want that reminder that I'm going to be out there fishing for people. I've been asked by my words and my actions, the way I influence or fail to influence people. I want them to know God's unconditional love and understand what this mystery called grace really is. I need the reminder, and I'm proud. I'm proud to be a fisher of men. Adam Hamilton ended the first chapter of his book with, "As soon as they brought the boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is where Simon Peter's real adventure began, and this is where our adventure begins as well." We hope that you have a very meaningful Lenten season. Thanks be to God.